Hello and welcome to Safe and Sound, New Zealand's only animal rights radio show, broadcasting right across the country. I'm your host, Sandra Kyle, and today I'll be speaking with Amanda Fraser-Jones from Chained Dogs Rehabilitation and Rehoming New Zealand. But before we go to that interview, I recorded a short chat that I had with Laura Hetherington. I must admit that I'm blown away by the number of outstanding young people who have really made the connection between their food and other lifestyle choices and how this affects others and the planet. So Laura is one of those fantastic young people, and I spoke to her about Earth Overshoot Day. This is a concept that's been around for about 10 years, and basically what it does, it determines the date of Earth Overshoot Day for each year. The Global Footprint Network calculates the number of days in a certain year that Earth's biocapacity has sufficient to provide for, and anything over and above that is overshoot. So Earth Overshoot Day this year was August the 2nd, the remainder of the year representing an excess of what the ecological resources of our planet can provide. Hi Laura, how are you?
Hi there, Sandra. Good, thanks.
I went online and I calculated my personal overshoot day, and it was June the 10th. So I also need two planets, and that despite the fact that I'm vegan and I don't use aeroplanes a lot, and I generally try to live in an environmentally friendly way. So it's a bit scary, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I also did the quiz, and like you, my Earth Overshoot date was in June, so it's pretty scary. And also, just putting that in context of New Zealand, looking at New Zealand's Earth Overshoot Day, we would actually need three planets
for our small
country.
Is that because of all the farming?
Yeah, exactly. So the fact that we have got a small population in regards to our land size and everything, but actually the amount of sheep and cows on our land really makes our population increase a lot more, to around 180 million. Yeah, as if we were supporting 180 million people instead of
4 million. Goodness me. So you're a member of the Waikato Vegan Society, and tell us how you marked the overshoot day a few days ago.
I was part of a Earth Overshoot Day collective. That's what we're calling ourselves, the Earth Overshoot Day Collective Waikato. And we were just a bunch of about six or seven people that really felt we needed to do something about this issue and just let the wider general know what sort of impact we're having on the environment. So we got together and we decided, okay, let's have an event, let's have a free event about this so that it's accessible for everyone. Mm-hmm. So on the 30th of July, we had an event at Agora Cafe in Frankton, and this was just an event to raise awareness of our negative impact on the environment being animal agriculture. This is what we explained. We showed a short documentary. We had facts around animal agriculture and Earth Overshoot Day from Sam Taylor, who's a candidate for the Greens Hamilton East.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we just, yeah, had a bit of a discussion around some pretty yummy vegan food and drink.
Did many people turn up?
Yeah, so we had at least around 40 people.
Wow, that's great.
So, yeah, considering it was on a Sunday afternoon, I'm pretty happy with the turnout.
Mm. Now, I happen to know that you're only 20 years old, and when I sort of contemplate that Earth Overshoot Day keeps coming earlier every single year since it was begun, it just reminds me that the impact we're creating for future generations is alarming. Would you agree with that?
Yes, that's pretty much why I have the lifestyle I do. I am a vegan, and I understand that animal agriculture is the leading cause of species extinction, ocean dead zones, water pollution, and habitat destruction being the main ones. So for me, I think it's really important that the younger generations especially understand this and know, well, you know, if we want to keep living and keeping a clean, green environment and having a planet that can actually sustain us, we need to change our diet and how we are thinking about resources in the world.
Do you think that public places in New Zealand should have more vegan options?
Yes, definitely. I think that's something that would make it a lot easier for people, because there is the conception that it is harder to be vegan. And when you go to cafes or local supermarkets, there's a lot more meat availability, dairy availability. And so I can see why it is easy for people to go for this when there isn't a lot of education around it. So I think especially in schools, there should be a lot more options, cafes, as I said before. Yeah, we just need more education around it as well. I think that's very important for the younger generation.
Definitely. And you're certainly doing your bit getting the word out there. I saw on the Earth Overshoot page that if we can gain 5 days every year from now until 2050, we'll bring humanity's footprint back to one planet. So do you think that's doable?
Yeah, I think it is. 5 days may not sound like a lot, but in the long run, it would make such a difference. For me, I have made the choice to be fully vegan, fully plant-based. But people can start slowly. It doesn't have to be a straightaway change. You can just start adapting ways in your life that don't impact the earth so negatively. I mean, yeah, start off with meat-free Monday, or, you know, try and look for those meaty flavours if that's what you're into, or, other alternatives that are easy to change in your lifestyle.
I put up on our Facebook page some links where people can, you know, sort of go to learn more about both the Earth Overshoot Day and the vegan lifestyle and so on. And of course, you're a part of the Waikato Vegan Society, and you accept anyone. You don't have to be a vegan to be a part of the society, right?
Yeah, definitely. You don't have to be vegan at all. If you're just wanting to learn a bit about it or have a chat, we have monthly potlucks, which anyone and everyone is welcome to come to. If someone feels daunted about what to bring or what to cook, there's so many easy recipes online, or just bring a nice fruit platter. I mean, we're happy, everyone's accepted, and you don't have to be fully vegan at all.
I don't spend a lot of time creating vegan dishes, I must admit, but on the way to the studio today, I heard someone give out a recipe for hummus, and it sounded so easy to do. So I know what I'm going to prepare for our next potluck.
Hummus is around. Well, you can make it with three ingredients. Chickpeas, tahini, a bit of oil if you want, or water, and lemon.
Lemon juice, that's right.
I look forward to tasting your hummus.
Okay, dear. Look, it's been lovely speaking to you, albeit very briefly. You take care and keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on, and I'm just glad that I was able to help spread the word a bit more for Earth Overshoot Day.
Let's go now to our interview with Amanda Fraser-Jones of Chain Dogs Rehabilitation and Rehoming New Zealand. A few years ago, I was living in Ladakh, which is a former Himalayan kingdom, and it's now part of India. It can get to 40 below or more in winter, and I wasn't there in the dead of winter, but it was still very cold some of the time. I was doing some voluntary work in a school there, and one day while I was walking to work, I heard the pitiful sound of a young puppy dog. The dog was chained and standing in the snow without shelter. He was howling and howling, and he only looked a couple of months old, very, very young. I just stood there for a few minutes, and then I walked away. I just felt too overwhelmed. I knew there were no animal welfare laws. I was a foreigner. There could have been a translation problem. I had hardly any money to spare, and I was about to leave the state, and there was a lot to do. I just felt there was nothing I could do for that little pup there and then. But I promised him, as I've promised many other individual animals over the years, that I would devote my life to improving their condition. That little chained puppy's howls still haunt me, and sadly, there are chain dogs all over the world, including more than our share here in New Zealand. Fortunately, we have a voluntary organisation that is dedicated to helping them. Here's Amanda to tell us all about what they do. Amanda, I read on your Facebook page that on your first encounter with a chain dog, you realised that you really wanted to devote yourself to this work. So tell us about that.
I encountered this chained dog and I knew it was very different from anything that you see on Facebook or in the media, because you see the classic really skinny dogs that have been blatantly neglected and they've been left on the side of the road, whereas this was something that was almost a hidden part of New Zealand society. And unless you see it, you don't know it's there. You don't know it exists. And it was almost like that minute that I saw that dog, I went bang and something clicked. And I went, this is what I'm going to do. I need to bring this to the forefront of people's minds. People need to know that this is happening in New Zealand and we can't hide it anymore and we need to be doing something about it, because it's a form of neglect that is far too hidden.
It's more than neglect, isn't it? It's cruelty.
It absolutely is. It is very much cruelty. I mean, it's not just dealing with neglect food-wise, it's dealing with emotional neglect, the physical stuff. I mean, people get dogs to be family members, not to be an ornament on a chain.
Would you have any idea of the numbers of life chain? We call them life chain, don't we? Because they spend virtually their whole lives on a chain. Would you have any idea of how many there are New Zealand wide?
Oh, look, I couldn't even begin to guess. There'd be tens of thousands nationwide, easily, though. The vast majority unregistered and, like I say, hidden, so they're not always easy to find, and it usually takes somebody reporting them for them to even come to anyone's attention. It's definitely a much larger problem than people can even imagine, but because it's generally happening out of sight, people don't understand the full impact of this.
Yeah. We'll get on to the actual dogs in a minute, but tell me how your organisation is set up. It's nationwide and you're a trustee, is that correct?
Yes. So it is nationwide. We are predominantly based in Auckland and Hamilton because that's where our team generally are. However, we have a massive network throughout New Zealand of helpers, other rescuers and other organisations who provide us with a lot of help and support. So say somebody in Christchurch needs a hand with a life chain dog or wants to report one, we have people down there who will help us do what we do somewhere else.
And how many volunteers do you have?
Oh, a lot. There's probably about maybe 30 in Auckland alone, probably about 8 or 9 in Hamilton, and then we've got a whole lot scattered out throughout New Zealand, but we definitely need more.
And who coordinates all the volunteers? Is that
you? No, I do have a little bit of a hand in helping coordinate the volunteers, but we do actually have a volunteer coordinator and she pretty much looks after them. And it depends on what area that people want to volunteer in. So not everybody really wants to go out and visit dogs on chains. They want to do other things. So we essentially, she goes through them, we decide where that person's going to fit. We do a bit of training and have a bit of a chat for them and see where they want to go, and then we go from there, pretty much.
So how do you hear about a chain dog?
Usually through people who are in the close vicinity or have driven past one or walked past one. So they'll report it via email or they'll message our page, our Facebook page, and then we snap into action as quickly as we possibly can. If it is really, really urgent, like if it's life-threatening and we're unable to attend, we do recommend that people contact the SPCA. But if not, one of our team will go out as soon as they possibly can to check up on the animal and see what we can do, how we can help, and what we can provide, pretty much.
So can you paint a picture for us of the life, the typical life, if you like, of a chain dog? Are they any particular species in general or what?
No, they could be anything from a Jack Russell Terrier to a Chihuahua to a purebred dog. It's amazing how many purebred dogs are kept on chain. The life of a chain dog is boring. They sit on the end of a chain, they watch the world go by. They generally don't have a lot of human interaction apart from when somebody is chucking some scraps at them for dinner or a bit of, you know, dog roll, quite often human food, and they're ignored. You know, they bark, they try and get attention, and no one cares. They're just there. Yeah, there's nothing going on there.
People keep them chained. Why?
Look, it could be a variety of reasons. Quite often people will get a puppy. It seems like, you know, good idea, get a puppy for the family. And they don't understand that you need to then train that puppy. And the puppy doesn't come pre-trained. You know, puppies go through teething, they chew, they display naughty, I guess what you would call naughty behaviour, but it's typical puppy behaviour. And rather than actually train that dog, they go, oh, too hard, and they put it on a chain, or they get them for guard dogs.
Do they make good guard dogs?
Not at all. Not even a little bit. Cane dogs, they can bite, but generally only if somebody approaches them and gets in their face. But we find that a vast majority of life chain dogs are more starved for attention. So when you go up to them, they get their little bum waggle on and they're just excited because somebody's paying them attention. So they're not aggressive. And then they do get to a point where they're going through a long period of no socialisation with humans or other dogs or anything. They actually get to a point where they just shut down completely. And we've got many, many, many photos of dogs that are, for all intents and purposes, when you walk up to them, they look like they're dead. They've just shut down completely emotionally.
Look, I can imagine that psychologically, emotionally, the mindset of a permanently chained dog is really, really messed up. They're pack animals, aren't they? They need a family around them, if not other dogs, the human family.
Absolutely, they do. Most chained dogs, life chained dogs, have fear issues. So they don't trust humans easily. Humans, to them, they throw you a bit of food and then they're just, and quite often they're yelled at or, you know, for barking or trying to get attention. So they're scared. Because a lot of them are trained from puppies, they don't get to release the energy through exercise and mental stimulation. So they get really, really excitable and they've got no idea how to limit that excitement. And when you've got a dog that doesn't know how to limit excitement, it gets itself in trouble with other animals.
But they'd be quite fearful. So anyone just walking by the gate would possibly make them fearful. You know, I'm thinking of the old fight or flight response. Yes. Because they can't go anywhere, they would become aggressive, barking and trying to ward off any potential danger.
They absolutely do. Because they can't escape, they've got nowhere to go. No. They do. The fight or flight is very real for them. And sometimes you'll get a different reaction from each one. You might get one that will growl at you as a kind of a warning, you know, oh, I don't trust you, stay away. And then you'll get others that will just cower in the corner at the end of their chain and they just want to get as far away from you as humanly possible because humans don't bring good things to them.
Right.
So, they're all a little bit different.
So people who keep dogs on chains, can you say, for example, well, you'd find more in lower socioeconomic areas? Can you make any generalisations about that?
No, we try not to make generalisations about those kinds of things because we do have people in nice areas, or what you would consider a nice area, living in nice homes and with dogs that they've paid a lot of money for, so a pedigree dog or a designer dog, and they still chain their dogs. I guess you probably see more if you're in a lower socioeconomic area, but it is not, they're not the majority. They can be anywhere. Chain dogs can be anywhere.
So if you get a call about a chain dog, you would go out or send a volunteer out. Now, presumably they approach the owners of the dog. How do you proceed? What do you offer the owner and the dog?
Each situation's a little bit different. It depends on the owner. So we will just approach them. We just go and we say, hey, look, you know, we want to help you because we just want to give these people help. So we want, the ultimate goal is that the dog is off the chain and it's living with a family. So we're not there to judge. We're not there to be horrible to these people. We just want to help them. So we might turn up and we might have a little bag of food or we might have some treats for the dog. Or if we see that the dog's got a collar embedded, we might go, hey, we've got a new collar for you. We build that relationship with those people because quite often those humans don't trust other humans either. So we want to make sure that they understand that we're just here to help. We're here to provide them with whatever needs to happen. We quite often provide vet treatment if necessary. We help get the dog de-set. We help make sure that they understand the rules that apply to them. So the laws like the microchipping and registering and all those sorts of things, they do get to a point where they really appreciate it. And if they need training help, we provide training help. If they say to us, look, you know, oh, my dog's on a chain because it's naughty and it escaped from a section and I don't know how to deal with it, we provide that help. We show them how to walk their dog, train their dog, you know, make sure it's getting good food, all of those things that all dogs deserve, but we do it without judgment.
Right. Can you tell us if there are any laws governing chaining dogs? Is there any time limit or length of chain or what?
At the moment, the Code of Welfare has some pretty vague restrictions around life chaining, but it's not descriptive enough and it is impossible to enforce. So we're still fighting to change this law. We put in a submission to the last Animal Welfare Amendments. Unfortunately, didn't go through. So we keep going. We just keep going. There needs to be more descriptive and clear guidelines, and there needs to be a clear law around length of chain, length of time a dog can be left on a chain, and all of those sorts of things. At the moment, there's nothing there. For all intents and purposes, it's fully legal to chain your dog 24/7. Yeah.
When I was living in Hamilton, I was living close to someone who kept his beautiful border collie dog in a cage. It wasn't chained, but it was in a cage up to 12 hours a day. And I didn't see them out walking or, you know, it's not to say that they never did, but there wasn't a lot of that going on either. And I made some discreet calls to the SPCA to try and find out the laws. And here again, what he was doing was perfectly legal.
That sounds about right. The animal welfare laws in New Zealand, they are terrible. No other way to put it, really. They really don't look after the dogs and animals that they should be looking after. They have just put some amendments out, which are really good, and they will actually help us a little bit because they deal with collar and tether ones, but they just haven't gone far enough. We keep going.
So,
keep going and fighting.
Definitely. I live in a rural area and I come across chained goats a lot. And I've been quite proactive in trying to get those goats off chains. Yep. And it must be the same with the dogs that you come across. They have heavy chains and it's really heavy around their neck, isn't it?
Absolutely is. If we've got dogs that in the medium term, they kind of have to be on a chain and the owners are not, you know, you're still working with them, we will provide other tethering long lines and stuff so that's not as heavy a chain because obviously that doesn't help them. Yeah, some people just don't think.
How can the public assist you and your great volunteers? I went on your Facebook page and read all the profiles of some of your volunteers, including a friend of mine, Carla Bradshaw. But how can we assist you? How can the public assist? There's fundraising going on and other activities?
Oh, there is. There's always something going on. We try and get out there as much as we can to bring about what we're doing. So pretty much ways you can help, like our Facebook page, share our posts. That's the very basic kind of things that you can do. Volunteer your time. So whether it's working directly with the Life Chain Dogs or doing something behind the scenes, there's always something that needs doing. Donate. So whether it be going up, we have an auction page where we have stuff for sale that's for fundraising, or whether you see we've got another fundraising opportunity, or whether you just want to sponsor a dog. You might see one of our dogs, like so Schofield, who's in our care, and you might say, you know what, I'm going to sponsor him. He's going to be the dog that I want to sponsor. Or you can just donate. All of our dogs need to learn how to be in a family. I mean, they've got their behaviour stuff sorted. They just need to learn how to really be a part of a family. So we need more fosterers. We can't help more dogs until we have fosterers. We provide everything. So we provide the food, the vet care, the training help. All we need from those people is to provide the exercise, the trust and the love. And that's pretty much it. And then adopt. If you're looking for a dog, rescue. Don't shop.
Yes.
Yeah. There's such amazing dogs up for adoption.
Yeah.
If you contact our adoption team and we talk to you about what your lifestyle is like, what your needs are, what you're looking for in a dog, we will help match you to a dog rather than going on our website and going, I want that dog because it's that colour. Yeah, we prefer to match people.
Just tell us your website.
We don't have a website at the moment.
It's Facebook page. Yeah.
Our Facebook page is Chained Dog Rehabilitation and Rehoming at New Zealand.
Right. And they can contact you directly there. I'll pop it up on our Facebook page as well. Thank you so much, Amanda. You know, it's just wonderful work that you're doing. As you say, that the laws need to be changed. But in the meantime, you're definitely improving the life of chain dogs. And if anyone comes across a life chain dog, they can contact you and we'll get some good advice.
Absolutely. We're happy to help anytime because our goal here is to get dogs off chains and happy and living the life that they deserve.
Brilliant. Thank you, Amanda.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Take care. Bye. Bye-bye. Our thanks to Amanda and also to Laura. I'll be sure to put up on our Facebook page, Safe and Sound Radio Show and Podcast, all the details around today's interviews. But it would be great if anyone would like to be a volunteer or to foster some chain dogs or in some other way help them do the very important work that they're doing. Just before we go, I'd like to give a shout out to anyone in the Auckland area next Thursday, the 10th of August. So if you're listening to this before the 10th of August, why don't you go up at 10:45 a.m. to the top of Western Park and Ponsonby Road and help Jennifer and the team from SAVE put up a billboard that is reminding people just ahead of the election that animals matter too. So just wear black, bring yourself and your mates, human or otherwise, and yeah, they'll be pleased to see you. We'll go out on a song that was chosen by Amanda and is also a favourite of mine. And I dedicate it to the two angels that I've spoken with today and all the other angels, I know so many of them, who are working for the benefit of our fellow animals. Enjoy Sarah McLachlan in the arms of an angel, and go well until I see you again next week. Bye-bye.
Spend all your time waiting for that second chance, for a break that would make it okay. There's always some reason to feel not good enough, and it's hard at the end of the day. I need some distraction. Oh, beautiful release. Memories seep from my veins. Let me be empty. Oh, and weightless. And maybe I'll find some peace tonight in the arms of the angel. Fly away from here, from this dark, cold hotel room and the endlessness that you fear. You are pulled from the wreckage of your soul. So tired of the straight line, and everywhere you turn, there's vultures and thieves at your back. The storm keeps on twisting. You keep on building the lies that you make up for.